Psalm 84 is one of the most grace-filled, gospel-rich, victory-promised psalms you are ever going to come across. If you are in a dark place today, if you are struggling, if you feel like you were lost in the desert, then this psalm is for you. If you are in pain or fearful or even discouraged, this psalm is for you. For from it you can learn how to walk through the valley and fear no evil. You can learn how to walk by faith and not by sight. It's going to show us the way through our struggles into the light of hope and peace and comfort as you go through your life, even this coming week. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. This psalm is a realization of that promise, and it offers great strength in the day of your trial. So let us draw near to Psalm 84, and may God open our eyes to the riches that are before us today. Verses 1 and 2, here is a summary. A summary of not just the thought behind those verses, but the heart, the emotion that is being expressed in these words. I have got to get to the courts of the Lord. I got to get there. That's where God is, and that's where I need to be. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord, body and soul. I will praise him there with all my heart. I have to get there. For without God, I am empty and I'm dry. I'm weak. I faint. I fail. I fall. I need to see him. I need to be near him. I need to be in the courts of the Lord. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord. Here in the first two verses, the problem and the goal are laid out for us. The psalmist is like us. He's struggling. He's not where he wants to be. That's the problem. He wants with all his heart to be in the courts of the Lord, but he's not there. He says he is longing for it. He faints with desire, wanting but not having. The problem is that he is not near to God, and the answer is that he's got to get near to God. That's the goal. And our problem and goal are the same. We need God, in the midst of all of our trials, we need to be in the courts of the Lord. That is where peace and joy and rest and courage are found, in him. We need to be there. We need to go there. We need to dwell where God dwells. So our problem is the same as the psalmist, but our desire is sometimes lacking, is it not? We so often don't share the longing that the psalmist has, that he is expressing. We need God just as much as he does, but we often don't want him as much as the psalmist does. We pursue other things, hoping to find peace. So let us hear the call here. Let us awaken our desire for God and cry out to him. Let us awaken our hearts. We need to stir up our love for God. Cry out to him. We cry out for his presence, for his courts. This morning, in your mind and in your heart, abandon your empty pursuits, the trinkets, and the distractions, and let us cry out together with the psalmist. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, it faints for the courts of the Lord. There is one thing that we must desire more than anything, and that is God himself. To be with him where he is. That should be our deep desire and longing. My soul longs, yes, faints, for the courts of the Lord. Our question is, of course, how do we get there? Look at verse 3. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. Even the smallest, the most insignificant one, a little bird, can find rest in God. The little sparrow is cared for. And we think immediately of Jesus' words that no sparrow ever falls to the ground, but that the Father sees, and he knows, and he cares. And then he said, you are worth so much more than sparrows. Even the seemingly most insignificant one among of us is cared for. Each one matters to God. He sees you. He knows you. And he cares for you. You are worth more than many sparrows. So that as we see the sparrow finding safety in the presence of God in this psalm, so we are assured that we too can find safety with him. You are being called. You are cared for. You belong. And in him you can find rest. His courts are lovely. And our desire should be to be with him. We are told to cast all of our anxieties upon him because he cares. If sparrows are cared for, how much more are you cared for? The very hairs of your head are counted. And every time even one falls out as you comb your hair, God knows and he cares enough to count them again. Don't fear, you are worth more than many sparrows. But look now where the sparrow and the swallow go to find their rest. Look where they go to make their nest and raise their little ones. Now this is astonishing. Where do they find peace and security? At the most violent and bloody spot imaginable. At the altar of God. The altar, that's where blood was spilled on a daily basis. Where animals lost their lives, even birds. Lost their lives and their blood was constantly being poured out because of sin. It was a place of sacrifice. This went on day after day, year after year. Death and bloodshed. To look at it, it was a grim, gruesome, and gory spot. The altar. And that is where the little birds found their rest. That's where they built their nest. That's where they laid their eggs and raised their family in the shadow of the bloody altar. That is where their children were safe. Right on the doorstep of sacrifice and death. And it is for us too. Why? Why is the blood-soaked altar of God the place of rest for us? In a word, grace. It is there that we are made right with God. It is there that forgiveness is offered and received. For us, that altar is Christ crucified. The blood-soaked cross is our refuge and our rest. For right there, the eternal Son of God gave his life to redeem us, to pay the price for our sin, and to take the wrath of God in our place, so that now, like the sparrow, we can find rest at the altar of God and fear no evil, for truly God is with us. We have been set free from the guilt and the shame of our sin. We are set free from the wrath of God and the fear of hellfire. We rest because Christ was crucified and now we are free. The cross is our triumph. It is our place to bring and raise our children. The shadow of the cross is our blessed shade and place of comfort, for it is there that our curse was turned into blessing. The sparrow and the swallow show us the way. Their little ones show us the way. To the altar of God we must go. For there we will find forgiveness and life. As Jesus, risen again from the dead, now opens the way to peace with God. How lovely is your dwelling place, O God. My soul longs for the courts of the Lord. I need to get there. At your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praises. The cross was the condemnation of Christ the sinless, and it is the redemption of us the sinful. We are safe with him. The sparrow will show us the way. Now we look at verses 5 to 7. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. The valley of Baca is crucial to understand if we are going to get to this psalm. We often read over place names in the Bible. I often do. I don't know what Baca means, and I move on. I don't take the time to understand, but it really matters for our understanding here in this psalm in particular. Baca means weeping, which would make it the valley of weeping. Some of your translations actually will render it that way. It won't say Baca, it'll just say valley of weeping. And it also refers at the same time to a certain type of tree, and this kind of tree is known for the resin running down on the outside of the tree, and it looks like tears. They are trees of weeping. The resin would run and have tears running down the trees. And this kind of tree grows in the desert, dry, desert-like areas. What the author is trying to get us to understand when he says the valley of Baca, it is a place in which the dry, dusty desert is, and where the only water is your tears. That's the image that we are meant to get. The dry, dusty desert where the only water is your tears. You are in the valley of weeping, the valley of Baca. And what does he say about such a place as this, this kind of valley? He says that those who trust in God make this desert of weeping into a place of springs, into an oasis. And now we are meant to wonder, what is this? The desert is turned into a spring. Dust turns into water. We need to hear this. When you find yourself in the valley of weeping, when you find yourself in this valley of Baca where the only water is your tears, dry seasons, know that the life-giving springs of God are closer than ever. The valley, this valley is the place to find water. How about that? When the Christian enters this desert and feels that oppressive heat and the dryness, the salt of the tears, he should stop and feel a bit of excitement in the chest. This is it. This is the place. I am nearer to God, to the courts of the dwelling place of my God, than ever before. I am close now. The one place that I long for most, the one place that I have to get to, it's here. I'm in the right place, the valley of weeping. Is the place where we dig for springs of water. This is so backward to our normal thinking. When we reach a difficult spot, when we are in a valley, when we are suffering, usually the first question is, where are you, God? Where are you? Where is God when I am hurting? When I am in pain, where is he? And in this psalm, it says God is right there in that valley, in that desert. You are close. You are very close. I know what to do when I hit a dry spot in my life. I need to start digging. Water's right there. It's just waiting to be found. I need to turn to God when I hit the low points in my life. Long for his courts more than anything. Valleys and deserts with all their pain are not to be places of despair, but places of hope. He is near. His courts are close. All too often we stumble along, never knowing the blessings that are waiting just below the surface. If only we would stop and dig. If only we would look to God instead of our troubles when we go through the valley. And we would find that not only do we turn it into a place of springs, but God also sends the early rain to fill the valley with pools. Life and grace and gospel are here for us in abundance. In the valley, the sparrow knows. The sparrow knows. The sparrow knows the way to the courts of God. It's by his altar. To the cross of Christ we must go. And in that valley of weeping, in the valley of the shadow of death, look at verse 7 now. Look what happens there. Each one appears before God in Zion. Each one appears before God in Zion. How do you get into the presence of God in this psalm? By going through the valley and digging down deep. And by so doing, you turn your desert into an oasis and you find yourself standing before God in Zion. You made it. You found him. You found the lovely dwelling place of God, his courts. Through your suffering, in your suffering, you can find the sweetest fellowship with God. For it is in suffering, in that valley, that he is seen and treasured most clearly when your soul longs and it faints for God to be with him. Then your suffering is turned into springs of joy in his presence as you trust him and treasure him above all else. This psalm is bursting with life-giving water. With grace and gospel in the middle of our suffering, we can be in the presence of God in Zion itself. We can know his care and his presence and his love. Look back now briefly to verse 5. Look at what it says there. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. The blessings of Psalm 84 continue to spring up. Where is the road to Zion to be found? The courts that we need to get to. The oasis in the desert. Where is the road to get me there? And we find that it's not out there somewhere. It is not some strange place that you don't know how to get to. It's not some mysterious place that only the mystics and the super spiritual can find. No, it is right here in the heart. In your heart is the highway to Zion. It's hidden here, but it's not secret. That's why the prison walls couldn't bother Paul and Silas as they sang praises to God in jail. They knew how to get to Zion. They were in the valley. And you dig deep, and you are praising God, and you are now in his courts, knowing his comfort. By the gospel, the dwelling place of God is with and in his people, both individually and in the church. He dwells with us by his Spirit poured out into us. In your heart, Christian, are the highways that lead to Zion, to the courts of God, to his very presence. It is by his Spirit that we find the highways to Zion, to the heavenly city, to the presence of God and his courts. So when we say that we are to turn the valley into springs of water, that we are to dig down when in the valley, what do we mean? What does that mean? Sometimes it can be frustrating to hear. Dig down. Dig deep. Have some faith. And I don't know what to do. What does that mean? How can I stir this up in me? How can I get there? So what does that mean? Where do we dig? And we look for treasure? The answer is as simple as it is profound: in his word, in the promises of God. It is here that we find these promises, in the scriptures, in what God has said to you. It's there that you find the promises of God, of his forgiveness and his comfort and his presence, of that hope and the courage and the strength. It is in those promises that we experience and see the revelation of the treasures of these promises of God. So are you in the valley of weeping today? Turn to the word of God and see the promises that are there for you. That is digging. That is digging. Follow the sparrow to the altar of God. The sparrow knows. Follow the sparrow to the altar of God. Rest in his promises, in his word, his promises of his love, and receive his grace and forgiveness. Your valley of weeping will turn into a highway to Zion. Confess your sins and draw near. The word of God will never fail. It is the means to create the highways to Zion in the human heart. By the word of God, we discover the way. We discover the way to turning our desert into an oasis. The valley of Baca turned into springs of water. The word of God. By the word of God, we find the path to freedom from guilt, forgiveness from our sins, hope in our pain and suffering. By the blood of Christ, and we rest in the courts of the living God. Now, we would not have known this blessing, we would not have known this grace or this gospel if it had not been given to us in the very word of God, which we open and read anytime we want. We have been told the way. Then he came to earth as a man to show us the way. And we have seen how he turned his own valley of weeping into springs of water, and how he has turned our weeping into shouts of joy. And now, blessed are those who dwell in your house, O God, ever singing your praises, O Lord. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. Verses 10 to 12. For a day in your courts are better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you. God is good all the time. And where do we see his goodness in this psalm? It is in this. He provides access to his courts for which we long, where our hope and our joy is. He gives us access there where apart from his grace we would never be able to get to. But not just access, he gives us highways. Highways to Zion. It's not a lost and hidden path, but a highway to Zion, into his presence. And not only into his presence, but into his favor. He gives favor and honor. How much do we see his goodness in full bloom here? How in the world can he bestow honor and favor upon us who are mortal, who are full of sin and faithlessness so often? And he does it through Christ. He does it through the altar, that bloody altar where the sparrow goes to find rest. So it is for us, where we find forgiveness, And in that forgiveness in Christ, he can give honor to mortal men because of Christ. He makes you a co-heir with Christ, a brother or sister of our Lord. He makes you holy and righteous so that now you share in the inheritance of Christ. Your desert has been turned into an oasis. If the gospel is foreshadowed and veiled in the Old Testament, then surely it is a very thin veil in Psalm 84. Here we can almost say that the veil is pulled back very briefly and we catch a greater glimpse of the goodness and glory of God and of his blessing to those who believe. He gives them a highway to Zion, straight from the valley of weeping into the presence of God. And in his presence, he bestows favor and honor upon you. It is through Christ that he accomplishes this. Look at verse 11. No good thing does he withhold. And we're reminded of Romans 8:32. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? No good thing is withheld from us who have put their faith in Christ. We have this promise of God. That's where you dig. That's where you dig. No good thing does he withhold from us. And we see the fulfillment of that promise in that he did not withhold his own son, but gave him up for us. Dig there. God is our spring of living water, our oasis in the desert. He will wipe away every tear from the tree of weeping. He turns the valley of Baca to a highway to Zion, where every joy is given freely and received by faith, and we all appear before him in glory. Blessed is the one who trusts in him. From desert to oasis, from death to life, from cross to resurrection, from confession to forgiveness, in your heart, believer, is the highway to Zion, to the heavenly courts, to the presence of God. The Spirit has put it there. Do not despise the blessing of tears in the desert. For your tears are a shortcut into the courts of God, where it is better to be a doorkeeper than to have all the so-called pleasures of the world. Consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds. For in these valleys we will dig, and we will find springs of water. Blessed is he in whose heart is the highway to Zion. All the way back to verse 1. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. And we ask, where is God's dwelling place now? In the heart, yes. Where are his courts? In the heart, yes. Listen one step further, Ephesians 2:22. In him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. God resides in each believer, that is true, but he resides truly and most completely in the church, his body. We are being built together into a dwelling place for God. His courts are here. As we meet, this is our seat in the heavenly places. As we gather together to enact on earth what is true in heaven. And here is where we should long to be. How lovely is your dwelling place, O God. My soul longs for it. I need to be there. I need to be built up together into the dwelling place for God, the blessed church where we come together to worship, where we come together to make a place of springs in the middle of the desert of a fallen world. And God himself sends the early rain to cover it with pools. And that's us. In Christ, you are a spring now from which living waters flow. He sends you, the Holy Spirit in you, and living water flows. In Christ, you are the early morning rain that fills the pools with life-giving water. The world is full of sin and death and hatred. We know that. But God is making a dwelling place for himself. God is turning the desert into an oasis that will cover and fill the earth. And it starts here. In the church. And we have the immeasurable blessing of being here week after week in his courts, finding rest for our souls in the days of our suffering. Because in Christ, we are being built up together as one body, being built up together, the dwelling place of God. And we should long for it. We should desire it. We should faint for it. And then we should feast on this grace together as we do. Jesus said, "Surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age." He is turning this valley of weeping into a highway to Zion, to the courts of the Lord. And to Zion we will go. And now here we are together, and Christ is with us. Now for those this morning who believe, for those who have found the road to Zion, hear this invitation now. The Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, talk about a valley, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, "This is my body, which is for you. You do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So let us remember. Let us proclaim. And by Christ himself among us, let us turn our deserts of weeping into highways to Zion. Let us partake. Our Heavenly Father, we praise you as our mighty God, who in the middle of our deserts of weeping have turned it into an oasis. In Christ we are free. In Christ we have courage. And we call upon you, Lord, we with rejoicing and thanksgiving that we are in your courts, the highways to Zion, we stand in your presence. And Lord, may your Spirit fill your people with power. As we go this week through our valleys, may we stop and we dig, knowing that you withhold no good thing from us, that we may rejoice even as we weep, that you would be strong through us and the light would shine bright as you would continue to grow this church, as you would continue to grow your dwelling place over all the earth. Lord, we long for it. We long for your courts. Draw near to us, Lord, as we draw near to you. You are our God. Make us and find us faithful. May you bring healing and life and light to all, that we may be unified and full of joy in your presence, in the great worship of our God. We push forward, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.